A live look inside Everbank Field. The big boards welcoming Malik Jackson, one of four free agents signed with the Jaguars earlier today. Welcome inside the team room at Everbank Field. JP Shadrick with you on Jaguars.com Live. A free agency special. We'll get to John Osier and Brian Sexton coming up. But a busy day at Everbank Field started earlier this morning when players arrived, including Ivory and Jackson, making the rounds, meeting coaches, meeting support staff at Everbank Field, and then, of course, the most important part of the day, putting pen to paper and signing the contracts to join the Jags here in 2016. We welcome in John Osier and Brian Sexton. We heard from these guys throughout the day. We got a chance to talk with them. All of us did right after they signed the deal. And, of course, here in this room a little later with the press conference situation here. A lot of smiles going around today, obviously.
This has changed so much. I remember the early the mid-90s when somebody had signed as a free agent, it was secretive. You never saw what was going on. If you followed on Jaguars.com, you've seen what's going on today. And these guys do go through a lot. But guess what? Pretty well compensated for going through a lot, right, Brian?
I take it all, exactly. Right. You know, put the pencil to the paper, and then how many people do I need to talk to? And can I go home next Wednesday? No problem. $42 million guaranteed. I will smile as long as you need me to.
Let's go through some of these guys today. We'll start off with Malik Jackson. Big contract on the defensive line. He'll add to that pass rush from the middle. You can move him all over the place. He came with a huge family in tow today, too, and a very interesting conversation with Malik.
Well, and he's obviously the key to this whole day. And I know people really wanted that edge pass rusher, and that was the focus for a lot of people. But let's not forget that of the available guys in free agency, he may have been the number one guy who was available, who wasn't tagged, who was out there to be gotten. And the Jaguars got him and got him quickly. I don't think that can be overemphasized, that this is an elite player who can do a lot from a lot of different areas and who helps you everywhere, not just the pass rush.
John, there's no question he is the number one guy on the defensive line. Let's be honest. If you're looking at Olivier Vernon, you're looking through potential glasses. Mm-hmm. You're looking through rose-colored glasses. One time he's been named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Never Pro Bowl, all pro. It's all based on what he did the last 8 or 9 games and the fact that the Dolphins' cap has got so maxed out. Jackson, production, 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 led the NFL in most pressures from an interior line position. I think he has had 40 of them the last 2 years. The guy gets it done. If I have to pick between one of those two guys, give me Malik Jackson 100 times out of 100.
And it's interesting to hear him talk, and I'm sure people watch the feed on Jaguars.com. What an awareness he had of how free agency works. He knows he signed for $42 million guaranteed. And, JP, I know if you signed for $42 guaranteed, you'd be fired up and say, okay, that's it for me. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about, hey, I know that if I'm going to get the, I don't know what it is, $90 million, he knows he has to earn it. He knows he has to keep going. So it does feel like he's going to be a guy who comes in and still feels like he has a lot to prove. So Willie, we'll see, but that's certainly what the vibe you got today.
If you remember a few years ago when the Jaguars were in Denver, that was really Jackson's breakout game in the NFL. I think he had a couple of sacks that day, a couple of tackles for loss, some pressures, and a guy in the previous season that had not done a lot, didn't get a lot of playing time with Denver. From that point on, he's been a consistent, solid player in the league. That's where it started.
Fifth-round pick, production to a star role, obviously. He's being paid that way, which just goes back to reinforce that a couple years, you don't want to be doing this. You want to be paying the guys that you picked. You want to find your own Malik Jacksons and then write them the check and not have to take the risk because it's the guy you know. Trust me, of all the guys they're going to lose in Denver, this is the guy they probably least wanted to lose because they know what he's capable of being.
He also fits that profile, and it's probably important to point out, at the Combine, Dave Caldwell talked very specifically and urgently and sent a message out of guys that they wanted. They were going to need to fit a bill of, we need to know why they're out there. And the Broncos couldn't re-sign Malik Jackson. So there's a reason he was out there. There's a reason the Broncos didn't re-sign him. Clearly they wanted to. Clearly they would have liked to. When you can't, you can't. And that's the one, I don't think it's a coincidence, that's who they swooped in on and really emphasized on day one, which was what, Tuesday.
We should point out also, and Derek Marks is one of our favorite guys here, but he's a bigger version. I mean, he's that disruptive, strong, fast guy. But, I mean, 6'5", you see the size of his hands and the length of his arms? I mean, this is a massive guy with great quickness. Now you line up with Malik Jackson next to Derek Marks. Which one are you going to shade to? Which one are you going to try to take away, especially if Fowler evolves on the outside and Odrick's over by himself? I mean, Malik Jackson's the kind of guy that can create a dynamic for an offensive line that they don't like very much.
He obviously won't play the Leo, and Dave Caldwell said that he won't play nose except when they're trying to create matchups in passing situations. But he can play three different positions along the offensive line. And Dave Caldwell, it was interesting. He said his role really isn't going to change that much from what he played in Denver, 3-4 scheme, but it is going to be a situation where he goes after the passer immediately, maybe a little more than he was asked to do in Denver. So maybe that's the switch, or the subtle switch, that will happen from Malik Jackson.
Well, let's put it this way. The last couple of years, the Jaguars had that lightning package where they put the smaller, faster mismatches inside. Well, with the lightning package now, you can bring some thunder.
Sounds good.
I like that.
Let's stay on defense.
You can use it if you'd like.
Tashaun Gipson now on the back end playing free safety, brought in from the Cleveland Browns. The interesting note, of course, an undrafted player out of Wyoming. He said his first signing bonus was $700. He did cash the check. He needed the cash, of course, but he still has the check stub, and now look at him. Where is he at 4 years later? He signed a huge contract with the Jags.
Yeah, I've never not cashed a check.
Yeah,
and probably won't. He was important because you needed to get something at free safety that you felt good about before the draft. They could not risk Jalen Ramsey not being there and going into next season without having that solved in the back. Dave Caldwell said this was a guy they targeted. They did not want to wait on Eric Weddle to take some visits. He's 25 years old. He's an interception guy. He had 5 and 6 a couple years back, led the AFC twice. If he gets back to playing to the level he did in 2013, 2014, they've got their free safety situation solved, which has been a huge, huge issue for this team really since Gus Bradley got here.
I feel like I know Malik Jackson because I saw a lot of Broncos games. I did not watch a lot of Cleveland games. In fact, my only reference point is the game here where he had 2 interceptions 2 years ago, and he was all over the field that day. Now, Blake was a rookie, and he threw a lot of interceptions that year, but Gipson showed me, well, what he said to me earlier today. He said, I see the ball, I go get the ball. And that's exactly what Earl Thomas does in Seattle. That's the role that they want him to play in Gus's defense in Jacksonville. I mean, it's a high bar to set. Can you be Earl Thomas? Because he's a singular player. But can you play like him? Can you be that guy that directs traffic and finds a way to go sideline to sideline and get the ball? To any degree that he can do that, it would be an upgrade from what it's been around here the last 2 years. And we'll find out whether it's worth $35 million.
Yeah, they needed to get this done, like I said. It also helps, Carlo talked about this today too. It helps him in the sense now you can put him at free safety and let him play free safety. And it allows you to put Cyprian, it allows you to put James Sample at strong, which is where they feel those guys will compete. And it gets them back to doing what they're supposed to do, which is stop the run. So it clarifies the roles that these guys will play in the defensive backfield. We'll see if that helps them get better.
Let's flip it over to the offense now. Chris Ivory, the running back from the New York Jets. 3 years in New Orleans, didn't get a lot of playing time there to split some time. And, of course, Drew Brees throws the ball a lot in New Orleans. But you go to New York and had a good couple of years. 1,000-yard season last year, a Pro Bowl alternate, got to Hawaii. A short yardage type of guy. He's not scared of contact at all.
Well, and this is a guy who will either be a compliment to T.J. Yeldon or will be the main back. I don't know if we know how that's going to play out yet. And they were certainly talking today, they meaning Dave Caldwell, that split carries and not sure who's going to start, not sure who's not. It looks like this will be a very much a two-back system, and which I think everybody knows you need. Unless you have special elite guy in the backfield, which there aren't that many of them around.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, and it's probably a few, but they're rare. So they now feel like they've got a situation where if one guy gets hurt, if one guy's down for a couple of series, you're not deficient at the running back position. And Dave Caldwell clearly thought that that was a big issue for this team this offseason.
You know, I don't know that I would just characterize him, though, as a short yardage back. He was an every down kind of back for them last year. I don't know that he's a receiver out of the backfield to the degree that a T.J. Yeldon is. But my thought watching him last year as the Jaguars are getting ready to play the Jets was, boy, does this guy run angry. I mean, he initiates contact. You either are the nail or you are the hammer, and he is absolutely a hammer kind of back. I have concerns over a 28-year-old that you pay $6 million to who's been a hammer back his whole career. The question is, how many swings does he have left? But, you know, he talked about acupuncture and massage. Clearly, he's a guy that takes care of his body. And for the Jaguars, you know, you get 2 years out of a guy like that, then you're getting a guy that can really help you. I'll say this, too. You know, I mean, running backs, you get 2 years out of him, you can be a long way down the road. And if T.J. Yeldon grows like I think we expect him to, then maybe you can get even more from a guy like Chris Ivory because he doesn't have to be the every down back.
Well, hammer, nail, thunder, lightning, you hit it on the head with the 28 years old. If they get 2 years out of him, he's 28 this year, 29 next year. That's fine for a running back, and they'll have gotten what they wanted to out of Chris Ivory.
Special teams, Brad Nortman from the Carolina Panthers. 4 years there, went to the Super Bowl, of course. Consistency the key here, according to Dave Caldwell.
Yeah, and I asked Brad this morning, you always struggle to kind of talk about a punter. There's not that much to cover here, but he believes that he brings the best of both worlds, directional and hang time. They said they approached Brian Anger about bringing him back, wasn't that interested. They kind of moved on from that quickly, and that when they looked at free agency, Brad Nortman was the best option at that point.
You know, Brian Anger, if he had been a seventh-round pick, people really would have liked him. He's a good guy, but from the moment that he was a third-round pick, all anybody wanted to do was assassinate him, you know, his character. You know, his character.
Right.
love the guy, think he's a great guy, and people jump, well, they got Nortman, so they couldn't wait to throw Anger out. Well, that wasn't the case, as John alluded to. Dave said they went and they made a run at it. The numbers are very similar. And the only thing I can say about Brad Nortman is, seems like a nice guy.
Sure. It's fine. Punter.
Yeah.
It won't be the last.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Absolutely.
Played in the Super Bowl and got paid. That's what this is. It's pro football. It's about the money. The punter got paid. Good for him.
And unfortunately for Brad, he walks in this morning. First thing he sees is Carson Tinker outside the gate. And I don't know what Carson had on, but it was something to behold. So a great entrance for Brad Nortman. Had to be a good
he
day.
He realized this was not a real
quarterback.
You're here now, Brad. You're locked in. So the next step for the Jags, there were names thrown out during the press conference today to Dave Caldwell of, hey, are there other guys that you're in the process of talking to? Ayers was a name that came up, another edge rusher. And this process certainly is not over.
Ayers was a first-round pick of the Broncos in 2009. He actually played for two seasons with Malik Jackson. I think he was at Tennessee for a year with Malik Jackson, so maybe Jackson picked up the phone and said, hey, I'm here. Jags would like to have you. I'm just thinking out loud here. But, you know, it fits. And we talked about him on a roundtable a few weeks ago. He's that next tier down. He's that guy that last year had 9.5 sacks for the Giants. You need to replace Chris Clemens and Andre Branch in your rotation. Go get him.
On this day last year, meaning the first wave of free agency, they had six. And when we talked about it after the fact, it felt like it was essentially over. Like, this was going to be the crux of what they did. I don't get that feeling this time. I think offensive line can still be addressed, and I think defensive edge rusher very likely still gets addressed. Not over yet.
Not over yet.
No, but, I mean, I do want to say this. The hope is that next year this is not as big an event, and that the year after it's not. At some point you want to be the Green Bay Packers. You want to sit out. You want to have signed, drafted well. Sign your own guys and don't take the risks, because no matter what, when you're guaranteeing $42 million or $14 million, you are taking significant risks. You want to go get your own guys and sign them in the future.
A lot of money out the door today and maybe more to come. All the behind-the-scenes access and interviews right now on Jaguars.com, and that'll do it for Jaguars.com Live.